Hi, welcome to the Subway ad for $2.99 subs. How would you like it?
I'll take Drill Sergeant, please.
You got it.
All right, now listen up. I want each and every one of you to drop and give me a 6-inch meatball marinara, cold cut combo, veggie delight, or Black Forest ham on your choice of bread with any veggies you want for just $2.99 each.
Sir, yes, sir!
Subway! Make it what you want at participating restaurants. Additional charge for extras plus applicable tax. No additional discounts or coupons may be applied.
This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Tony, if someone dies on your watch, you don't give up.
Who said we're giving up?
We are for not taking responsibility for our actions. This document just shifts the blame.
I'm sorry, Steve, that is dangerously arrogant. This is the United Nations we're talking about. It's not the World Security Council. It's not SHIELD. It's not HYDRA.
No, but it's run by people with agendas, and agendas change.
That's good.
That's why I'm here. When I realized what my weapons were capable of in the wrong hands, I shut it down, stopped manufacturing.
Tony, you chose to do that. If we sign this, we surrender our right to choose. What if this panel sends us somewhere we don't think we should go? What if there's somewhere we need to go and they don't let us? We may not be perfect, but the safest hands are still our own.
If we don't do this now, it's going to be done to us later.
You're listening to At The Movies with me, Uma Pagan Ampake Pagan. Captain America Civil War, the 13th movie in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, hits our screens next week. The movie pits two of the franchise's biggest heroes against each other in a battle, not of strength, but of ideology and political philosophy. Talking to me about all that, about the impact of the comic book and how the movie might differ, I've got with me Dr. Mark DePaolo, Associate Professor of English and Moving Image Arts at Oklahoma City University and author of the book War, Politics and Superheroes, Ethics and Propaganda in Comics and Film. So Mark, you are a huge fan of Civil War. You wrote a book about how this comic book series shaped your politics. So talk to me about how excited you are about this film.
I've been hoping that they would make a Civil War film ever since the first Avengers teased it in the aftermath of the major battle segment. And I said, boy, is it possible they're going to do Civil War and Infinity Gauntlet? And when Marvel announced their big slate of films, that looked like that was essentially what they were going to do. So I've been delighted for years, and I can't wait to see it.
So the original comic book series on which it's based on was a direct response to 9/11 and the politics of the day. It was this debate that was going on in the minds of Americans on a day-to-day basis, right? Do we sacrifice our civil liberties to live in a safer society? And what do you think has changed since the post 9/11 years? It's 15 years later. And how do you think that's going to affect this story? Because clearly this movie is going to have to speak actually to a generation that they haven't forgotten 9/11, but they may not have grown up in the same way that we did, experiencing it live on television.
When I first started teaching Civil War in courses on superhero politics in college, to freshmen and to honors classes and to film studies classes, it was about 4 or 5 years ago. And when I would ask them, what do you know about 9/11? They would say, oh, I was 6 and my mom was watching television and she looked really sad. And that was basically what a lot of them knew about it. And so I would assign them the comic and I would ask them, well, as someone who doesn't really know the backstory of the history, as well as I would hope you would have, as people who know the superheroes, what do you think this is about? And what they jumped to pretty quickly was it's an indictment of Barack Obama's Affordable Care Act. It's this law that everyone's going to have to follow. And I said, okay, you know, growing government and encroachment and civil liberties and people have to pay this tax and it's got to be to private industries in some respects. Okay, that wasn't at all what it was like, you know, when I experienced it. I experienced it as Iron Man is Dick Cheney, the negative zone prison is Guantanamo Bay. The destruction of Stamford was the destruction of the World Trade Center. And Captain America was Michael Moore. When they announced Civil War, it was coming out as a movie. There was an article on Slate. I forget who wrote it, but the point of it was, oh, this is just a ridiculous right-wing diatribe against gun control laws. And Now, gun control wasn't an issue when Civil War came out because George W. Bush was president and we hadn't had the Sandy Hook shootings yet, so children hadn't been shot. There was no way it could have been about gun control.
And of course, in this example, Captain America, Iron Man, they're the guns.
Yes. And there's an extent to which, you know, the idea that Iron Man is the neoconservative and Captain America is sort of the liberal who wished the Democratic Party wouldn't roll over for W, that's completely changed in an Affordable Care Act reading and in a gun control reading. Suddenly, Iron Man is Obama, and Captain America becomes sort of a Paul Ryan or a libertarian figure. And that completely reframes the story. And even when The Winter Soldier came out, there were elements of Civil War in that film. There's a scene in an elevator when Captain America's fighting S.H.I.E.L.D. that's reminiscent of him fighting S.H.I.E.L.D. in Civil War. I heard interpretations of that film that says it's pretty liberal. It doesn't like the Patriot Act. But I've also heard, he's Paul Ryan complaining about the NSA, and the NSA is really a Republican issue because it expanded on the Democrats.
And what's interesting for me is, of course, reading the original comic books again, there's actually a very nuanced depiction of Iron Man. He's fighting the Superhero Registration Act with Spider-Man to begin with, and it's the explosion, and it's that woman spitting in his face, and there's this trigger point that kind of sends him over the edge to say, okay, maybe this is necessary. So it isn't so black and white. It's a nice mixture and a very nuanced portrayal on both sides.
I think so. And when you get, Mark Millar writes the main story, and he's a liberal, but he's very satirical, and he likes to sound neoconservative while making fun of it. And then you have J. Michael Straczynski, who's pretty center-left, and he's writing the Spider-Man and Fantastic Four pieces. But, you know, some of the Marvel writers are pretty conservative, so they gave Iron Man his due. And the movie should be interesting at this point because, in some ways, you know, Captain America is the moral exemplar of the universe, but Robert Downey Jr. is the star of the universe. And it's hard for me to even track the politics of his character to a degree from movie to movie. They darken him by giving him Hank Pym's morally ambiguous role in creating Ultron. But they also give him this premonition of doom that Thanos is coming to sort of excuse him for what he's going to be doing in this film. And Bucky being mentally unhinged and having Captain America protecting him at all costs seems to gray him. So I think some of the ambiguity is going to carry over into the new film in a way that wasn't in the comic but might feel faithful.
They seem to have built it up. I think this is one of the most exciting things about Captain America Civil War, and the thing I'm most looking forward to, is that there seems to be this blueprint, and they've slowly built it up over 11, 12 movies, and I think that's remarkable. I haven't seen anything quite like it in cinema.
It's very exciting, and there's a point at which when a new film comes out, and it's clearly a transitional film like Age of Ultron, it's hard to rate how good it is until you've actually seen the rest of it. I mean, Empire Strikes Back is unusual in that it's the middle film and it's so good you could practically just watch it. A movie like Iron Man 2, I hated when it came out, but when I watched all the Marvel movies in a row, everything it does to set up Avengers makes it a lot better. So I expect that will happen with Age of Ultron. This film, I would like to have enough of an ending that it doesn't feel like just an ad for Infinity War Part 1 and 2.
The one thing they do well is actually, despite all of the hints they have to leave in all of these movies because they're building this cinematic universe or whatever, the one thing they do well is that they have these movies stand alone as capsules by themselves. And what I mean is, my mom can watch it and she'll have a great time. She doesn't need to know about the Easter eggs. There's a beginning, there's a middle, there's an end, there's a funny little teaser afterwards, and she can walk away happy.
Yes. Only every once in a while does somebody say, who's the purple guy? You know, and it's always funny to listen to the folks who explain the films to the people they're with who don't need the films explained, or the person doing the explaining clearly got it just from Wikipedia, or they wrote all the comics. It's kind of fun.
You know what I have to do at the radio station, Mark? I have to actually write these 4 to 5 paragraph primers and send it out to everyone at the radio station before they go see the film. I had to do it for Star Wars The Force Awakens. I had to do it for Age of Ultron.
And it is funny what people are interested in. Like, my students really love keeping track of the Infinity Stones. And I said, boy, you really care about the MacGuffins? Those aren't very important. I'm much more interested in how these themes are developing and if Captain America is going to get darker. But, you know, okay, cool. You could like the red mist in Thor the Dark World if you want. You know, the football and was it the soccer ball in Guardians of the Galaxy that bores me to tears. But, you know, sure, you know.
but I got to ask you for a quick and dirty prediction on what you think this movie might say about our current state. Because I look at American politics right now, and it's interesting how Batman v Superman plays out for a Trump audience. It's all noise and bluster and very little substance or coherence.
Well, yes, and there's an interesting theme in the Superman movies where Superman is boring, all-powerful Obama. Like his S is the hope symbol. And Batman's reaction to Superman is very much this sort of conspiracy theory view of Obama. And this interesting moment where, you know, Batman realizes that he's prejudiced against the alien and they have a common humanity because their mom shares the same name, you know, which was a little cheesy, but it made me wish that something like that would happen in real life to people who argue like that. But, you know, the funny thing is Batman's the star of the movie and he's wrong, but no one really likes the actor who plays Superman. So I don't know what anyone would walk away from that film thinking other than, gee, Wonder Woman's cool. I wish she had a bigger part, which they got her more right than anybody in her 10 minutes. What would be nice is if Captain America and Iron Man are both interesting enough and correct enough in their own way and don't talk and polarize superheroes the way the nation's polarized by ridiculous online comments and Twitter and Facebook, and that there's some moral that the greater menace, like Baron Zemo or whoever shows up to take advantage of splintering, brings to the discussion that will sort of warn us, you know, we really need to work together because we've got terrorists and climate change, and we really need to calm down about, you know, immigration and taxes. And you can calmly discuss immigration and taxes, but we really need to urgently discuss climate change and terrorism, that kind of thing.
You're absolutely right. I think what made Civil War, the comic book, so good is that you could fall on either side. Mm-hmm. You will meet someone who goes, I am on Team Iron Man, I am on Team Cap. And I think that was the biggest problem with Batman v Superman, is that you really didn't feel like being on either side.
Yes, both these guys are jerks.
Correct.
I'd be on Lois' side if I understood her storyline at all.
I'd be on Lois' side if she picked up the phone halfway through the film and just texted Superman and went, Lex is the bad guy, I figured it out.
Right? Yeah, that's what she did in the boring Superman movie. So was it Superman Returns? I mean, the nice thing about Civil War that my students have demonstrated is you can read it 5 years later and the symbolism changes and which party affiliation Iron Man and Captain America have can shift. And that's a sign that it's well written, even though, you know, the main story is written to bleed out into as many crossovers as you feel like reading, which makes it a little hard to read. But, you know, at the time of reading it, it was amazing. And I wish they would collect it and trade paperbacks in a way that you can read it consecutively. It's a story that I'd like more people to read. I just don't think it's packaged well, given how it was published. The movie, I think, could be one of the best forms of the story. And I think Black Widow will probably switch sides from Iron Man to Captain America the way Spider-Man did, and she's going to occupy that role. And to have a character switch sides is a way of showing that both sides have a point. And that's what influenced me so much when I read the comic, because I was caught between national security and civil liberties. And when Spider-Man switched, that was very potent for me. And I felt like I got a more intelligent, more moral discussion of the state of the country and national security from Civil War than anything in the news or anything the politicians say. So the movie could do that if it's well done.
I've been speaking to Dr. Mark DePaolo, Associate Professor of English and Moving Image Arts at Oklahoma City University. I strongly urge you to check out his book, War, Politics and Superheroes, Ethics and Propaganda in Comics and Film. Tweet me on @UmarPagan or on @TheMoviesMY and tell me whose side you're on, Team Cap or Team Iron Man. Tell me why. Don't forget, you can check out more episodes of At The Movies at bfm.my/movies if you're still in a comic book mood. Last week, Bahir Yusuf and I did a teardown of the new Doctor Strange trailer. Go check it out. You've been listening to At The Movies. This is BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Hi, welcome to the Subway ad for $2.99 subs. How would you like it?
I'll take Drill Sergeant, please.
You got it.
All right, now listen up. I want each and every one of you to drop and give me a 6-inch meatball marinara, cold cut combo, veggie delight, or black forest ham on your choice of bread with any veggies you want for just $2.99 each.
Sir, yes, sir!
Subway! Make it what you want at participating restaurants. Additional charge for extras plus applicable tax. No additional discounts or coupons may be applied.